Hi, welcome to Faith-Fueled Living. This is your host, Kristen. Today, my guest is going to talk to us about using his gifts and abilities for God. He created a new, easy to understand and read Bible, and he's passionate to make God's word even more accessible to everyone through a simple to understand Bible. And we're going to talk about what that project was like doing it and being faithful and stepping into what God was asking him to do. Welcome to Faith-Fueled Living, the podcast that equips you to live well spiritually, emotionally, physically, and purposefully. Each week, we'll dive into conversations and biblical truths to help you strengthen your faith, pursue meaningful work, care for your whole self, and live aligned with what matters most. Hi, today on the podcast, I am so happy to welcome our guest, Dan Parr. I'm excited for this conversation because Dan is gifted at the work he does, but he also felt called to, from God, to take on a project to record a version of the Bible that was understandable and that made sense to everybody so that we could all on a daily basis get into God's word and really understand who Christ is and what that means to be a Christ follower. And so I'm excited. Dan has, he's the publisher narrator of the new easy to understand Bible, read Bible, and I'm excited. We're going to talk about why he thinks, or, you know, what it was like to walk through making that project, partnering with God to do that, and then what it's just like to use our gifts and talents for the kingdom. So I'm excited, and I hope this conversation will encourage you in your own life, stepping into what God has for you. So Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here, Kristen.
Yeah, thanks. So first of all, why don't you just tell us a little bit about life, and then obviously, you know, your professional work, and then this is obviously one of the many projects you do. So maybe just tell us about what life's like and then what it was like doing this project.
Yeah, so I'm a voiceover talent by trade, right? That's how I earn my living every day, by recording audio scripts. And for me, this seemed like a natural progression of that, right? I'm a Christian, I'm a passionate follower of Christ, I want to show my love for Christ. And I thought one of the ways I can do that is by recording his word. Now, to be honest with you, Christian, I say I'm a reluctant Bible narrator and publisher because it was never my intention to come out with a new version of the Bible. If you would have told me 5 years ago, this is what I'd be doing, I would have thought you were insane. Honestly, it's just too much work and I didn't want to do it. So I'm a reluctant one, but yet God in his wisdom and his gentle prodding convicted me and convinced me that this is what I need to do.
Yeah, I mean, what I love about that is sometimes we're going to be called to do things, you know, yes, this was beyond the scope of something you had done, and it took a lot more research and time to do it, but that he used this gift you already had, right? To be able to speak clearly, strong, you know, voice, you're able to use your voice in ways that a lot of us maybe, you know, don't have that skill or haven't developed it. So I love that, you know, he took something that you already knew how to do, and then he just kind of blew it wide open and said, hey, now I'm going to take you to this other place. And so what did that look like? I mean, I know there's a struggle in deciding that you're going to step into like what he's calling you to when it's not comfortable, because I know I struggle with that sometimes, right? Like, okay, I can do the podcast, but like, am I sometimes still playing smaller than I should be, right? Like, is he actually saying every day I should be like, what rooms should I be in, right? In front of people, where should I? And so I struggle with that. And I bet a lot of the people listening to this might struggle with it too. Like, are we being faithful or are we kind of tapping the brakes?
Yeah, Jesus is the gentle shepherd, right? He leads you along with his voice and he is very peaceful. Sheep aren't going to follow someone who's harsh with them. And it's right. Been the same with me. He gently led me along with this. It started simple enough. I'm in a life group, and in the life group, we often read scripture, and the instructor, teacher, leader will ask for volunteers, and I would frequently volunteer. And one day, the instructor said, you know, Dan, I love it when you read the Word of God. I always just enjoy hearing how it sounds coming out of you. And I thought, well, that's very nice, very flattering. So that was the seed, and then I had this idea, well, for Easter one year, I'm just going to record a little bit about the resurrection and put it up on my Facebook account, see how that goes. And so I went to the book of Luke, found the resurrection, and I thought, well, I'm going to reword this a little bit just to make it a little bit more understandable, easier to read and comprehend. So I did that, put it up on Facebook, got some good reviews, some good comments. And I thought, okay, well, that was kind of fun. I enjoyed that. And I really didn't think too much more about it. I kind of thought I was done. But of course, as he often does, Jesus comes knocking, right? And He seemed to be prodding me to do the entire book of Luke, which I thought was just absurd. It's way too large to do. And I thought, well, yeah, I don't want to do that, but he's persistent. So I finally caved in and thought, okay, I'll record the book of Luke. And I was going to just pick up a Bible and read it. And of course, you can't do that if you plan on selling it, because I thought, if I'm going to put all this effort into it, I want to be able to put it on Audible or Amazon if people want to purchase it. So I couldn't pick up like the NIV because it's copyrighted trademark. So I had to find a version that was in public domain. Found the King James Version. Read a couple of these, thou's beseechest, verilies. And I thought, nope, that's not going to work for me. So I had to look for another version. Came across the World English Bible, which is a good faithful translation. A lot of input from theologians, Bible scholars, teachers over the years. But still, just I thought, linguistically, it was a bit of a challenge for some people. There was still some archaic phrasing in there, some weird sentence structures, I thought. So I thought I could probably use this as my base and just reword it in a way where if somebody knows nothing about the Bible, if they know nothing about Jesus, it'll make sense to them. So with that, I started with the book of Luke and did the book of Luke. And it was a hard process, but it was enjoyable as well, because it was like I was working with my dad on a project. I'd get frustrated at a passage and say, well, how am I supposed to say this? He'd inevitably lead me to another version of the Bible or a commentary where I'd kind of get an idea and say, okay, now I get it. Now I know how to word this. So I did that for the entire book of Luke, and I got done with it. And I thought, whew, glad that's over. Enjoyed the process, but glad it's done.
Yeah.
Well, you can imagine what happens next. Wasn't too long before I felt him saying, you know, Acts is really the book of Luke part two. It's kind of a continuation of the story. Don't you think people need to hear the rest? I thought, yes. So I reluctantly did the book of Acts. And it just kind of continued that way. And as we were going through this, the funny part is, Kristen, is that I was telling God on a frequent basis, God, we don't need another version of the Bible. There's already 900 versions out there. We don't need one more.
900. Yeah.
So we'd go through this book after book, and I'd keep protesting. He'd keep knocking on the door. And finally, I think he got to the point where he had heard it enough, and he firmly but gently said to me, Dan, why don't you let me decide what we need and what we don't need? And I thought, okay, well, I guess that settles it.
Yeah.
So 4 years later, got the entire Bible done.
Wow. Well, first of all, congratulations, because I know it's a big project. And not only just wrestling with, like you said, I mean, it meant that beyond the work that pays your bills, you were going to spend a lot of free time writing or revising, right, the translation that you decided to start with, and then recording it. And as you'd shared with me before this, I think I'd heard it before, but not for some time, every hour that you actually had finished audio for, which is, I think, 61 or 62 hours, takes 4 hours to produce, you know, that high quality hour of the Bible that you recorded. So, you know, a pretty good sized project. And, you know, obviously you don't do it in just a couple of weeks. It takes time, because you had, like you said, you weren't just re-recording it. You were also trying to look at it through a lens of somebody that you wanted it to be easy and inviting, right? You didn't want there to be any barriers based on the words that were being used in the translation you decided to record. So first of all, I love that. And I will say that, so I was just in DC for a gathering called Renew, but it was basically the church that Mark, author and Pastor Mark Batterson planted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was at that. And, you know, but when you were talking, it was just reminding me so many times in his books, he talks about, you know, just being faithful, like you said, and just kind of God is asking us to take a step of faith first and stuff he wants us to do. And then he shows up, right? So each time we're obedient and we do something, it might be something small, right? Like you thinking, you know, maybe for Easter, I'm going to do this thing. And then you faithfully just did it because you had that little inkling. And then he, you know, gives you a little bit more like, hey, maybe, you do more with this. And so I love that, because so often I think we're waiting for God to kind of knock on the door and say like, hey, I'm over here, do this thing. But it's not usually, it is much more gentle and subtle. And we have to be present. We have to be listening for that little whisper. And of course, we have to be in the word. We have to be in prayer, make space in our lives, right? To hear God, if you will. I mean, however we hear him, obviously, sometimes it's just that feeling within us that we know it's not quite our voice, right? But we know we're being kind of led or prompted. So I love that. So what would you share with us about, was there anybody in your life that was encouraging you or like, you know, kind of cheering you on to finish this? Or did you feel like, no, it was just God and I didn't really have any support system? Because I think sometimes that's where we worry, like, is my spouse or my friend or my parent, are they, do they even know about it? One, did we tell them? And then two, are they encouraging us or are they kind of like, wait, you're going to do what?
Well, fortunately, I'm married to a wonderful woman who is very supportive and kind and giving and loving and beautiful. And she is my best friend, my rock. And she really helped encourage me along through this. You know, I'd come out frustrated sometimes just saying, my gosh, this is way too long. This is way too big of a project. She's like, just do a little bit. Do what you can, you know, let God fill in the rest. And so I'd go back in the studio, start over again, start recording. And she would just, you know, how's it going today? What'd you work on today? You know, that kind of thing. So, and just giving up of the time, right? Because obviously this took a long time to do, over four years.
Yes.
So she was just very giving with all that. And the funny part is after all of this was done, right? I got it completely out there. I think, okay, well, that's great. I'm done now. She's the one who says, well, don't you think people kind of need to hear about it? It's like, well, yeah, but what am I supposed to do? And she had me listen to this podcast and I listened to it and really, I guess I'm slow on the uptake, didn't get anything out of it. She's like, well, what do you think about that? And I'm like, oh, sounds fine. She's like, any ideas? And I'm like, no. And she says, don't you think you should go on podcasts and talk to people about this? And I thought, oh, well, I guess that is a pretty good idea. So it's all credit to her that I'm even able to be out here and doing this now.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that is a good point in that if we are creating content or a product, whatever it is, even if it's right, like a faith, a Christian product or whatever content, right? Like, yes, God controls the outcome, but we still have to be faithful, not only in creating the thing, but to your point, if we never share the thing we did, and I've been there, like when I first started, so I'd started a different podcast first, which I still have, called Building a Life You Love. And then I started this one maybe 6 months after that. But when I first started this, it had a different name at the time. It was called Spark of Faith, but I didn't tell anybody like about it. I didn't even tell my husband. Like I was just like, oh, I'm going to test this out. Like just this Christian podcast, because I wasn't ready. Like I wasn't ready to be like, hey, look at me. I'm doing this Christian specifically only podcast. But my point is, once again, the more I started getting comfortable with that, you know, I of course had to share. And then I had to, like you said, go on other podcasts, put it out there, share clips, because, you know, our job isn't how many people or how often or how many we sell, but our job is to also be out there, right? Because we are then giving testimony. We are then sharing the word of God, sharing other people's stories or whatever it is. So that's so funny that your wife is like, well, what do you think? Maybe you should do this. So I agree with you because I've been there and done that even with a project. I co-authored a book many years ago with my mom actually. And it's like, as soon as we did it, I was like, okay, I'm done. That was a great project, but I don't really want to promote it. It was nothing wrong with it. It was like a parenting book. But the point is of course, really not very many people were getting it because we weren't sharing it. I was kind of, we had a different company. So we were working on that, but people aren't going to know if you don't share it with them. And so, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah. And I'm not naturally kind of a little bit more reserved, right? Got that English background. So I'm not out there promoting myself most of the time. I'm happy to stay in the shadows. However, you know, God doesn't call us to stay in the shadows. He calls us to bring our light in front of all the world.
Absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit, like, besides just feeling God kind of prompting you to do this, what else might you just share with us or encourage us in being bolder with our faith? Because I think, well, let me just caveat that. I think in the last at least 5 years, maybe even 10, I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I mean, of course I have a platform online. I have this podcast and stuff, but on social media, I struggled to share, right? I didn't want to share about politics. I didn't want to share. I just like was so divisive. I think we all knew that and felt that. But so sometimes it felt unsafe, which is not what we're not called to. Like God didn't say we're going to be safe, but you know what I'm saying? So I think in that environment, how can we be bold with our faith? Like, how would you just encourage us what you've seen and learned from your own experience?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, you know, there's lots of people who are bold. Being bold is not necessarily a spiritual gift. There are people who are anti-Christ who are very bold. Right. But I would say we have to do it with a spirit of love. And for me, the best way I know to develop that is just to be in the Word on a regular basis. The Word is transformative. Let it wash over you and change your heart and change your demeanor. Because when you do, God takes up residence, right? And you create space for Him to do a work in you when you avail yourself to the Word. You know, Hebrews tells us that it's alive, active, sharper than a two-edged sword. So I would encourage people first. You might have a great message to share. Fantastic. Be in the Word first, right? Be in prayer first. Be in fellowship with other Christians first. Those are the three main things. Be in the Word, be in fellowship, be in prayer. And then after that, when you have those checks and balances in place, then start spreading the Word in love. The world's not going to be persuaded by our arguments. They're going to be persuaded by our love. So that is the big overarching message, I think. Whatever you do, whatever you say, do it in the spirit of love and let the Holy Spirit have that space to work in.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, 100%. Yeah. So yeah, great. I love how you said that too. And I think that is kind of where it feels like sometimes it appears some have lost their way, right? Because, you know, people that'll say they're Christians, and I'm not saying they're not, but sometimes the behavior online, and I think it's also because you're online, it's at this distance, right? People just push stuff out instead of really thinking about, to your point, like what's behind that? Like what's the heart of my message? And am I being kind and loving and, you know, showing up how Jesus would have shown up in that situation, in that conversation, you know, in that room or whatever it is. And I agree with you. And that's why sometimes I won't show up in those spaces because I don't think there was anything I could have added without it becoming something else. Right. And so, and to your point, that's why often it's in the moments. That's the other thing I was sharing in my email today for my faith email. Was just talking about holy moments, which we've heard that before, but I was talking about the book by Matthew Kelly. But he's just saying, like, that's when we just, a holy moment is just when we make ourselves available to God in that moment to kind of use us, right? Like, we're here, God, like, how do you want to use us in this situation, in this moment, in this conversation, you know, in the world? And it's when it's not about our self-interest, but it's about what does God want to do through us and with us, you know? And so I think if we all, to your point, come from that posture, because we are letting the Holy Spirit be part of the situation, be part of the moment, then that's when, like you said, He can work through us. Absolutely. Yeah. So, oh, sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, you know, we talk about how divisive things can be, especially when it's online. And I think of it, you know, I don't engage in a lot of online debate, right, admittedly, because I don't think it's very fruitful. But, you know, the times I have, it tends to come out a little bit more harsh than I would if I was speaking in person. And I think about just driving in traffic. You know, I speak much more roughly to people when I'm in my car by myself than I would if they were in front of me. You know, you just have to be aware of your surroundings, be aware of your circumstances. And remember, you know, God sees, hears, knows everything, right? So just, I always have to keep that in the back of my mind that, you know, Jesus is sitting right next to me. Do I really want to be talking like that to that person in that car who just cut me off? Probably not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what would you just say going through this process? You know, like you said, it was a lot of hours. You know, your wife had to also be willing for you to give up some of the time, right? That you all might have been doing something else. But, you know, you knew it was important, obviously. What else would you just share with us about things you've learned, you know, or how your faith grew by doing that, you know, that bigger project?
Yeah. One of the things that just became abundantly clear to me is just how much love God has for us. You know, I've read the Bible before, you know, a couple of times through, and, but working with it in this level, you know, you get very intimate with God because you have to, because you're taking His word and kind of trying to make it available to a new generation. But His love just really shined through the pages of this. You know, we see it in the Garden of Eden. He hung out with Adam and Eve. He was there with them. He had fellowship with them. And then even after they messed up, He made a way for them to be restored. Same thing happens with the Israelites, right? Time and time again, they turn away from God. Time and time again, he is the one who initiates them coming back and makes a way for them to come back. And of course, we see all of that fulfilled through Jesus, right? He comes down to earth. This is how you're supposed to do it, people. Follow me, watch me, do what I do. And it's just incredible amount of love that he continues to show us in his grace and his mercy. And, you know, something we obviously don't deserve, but because of his goodness, he just extends to us. So that's one of the things that I came away from this with, is just an appreciation of how much he loves us and what a good father he is, and just how forgiving and kind he is. So that was probably the biggest takeaway for me.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes so much sense, because I think that's true, right? The more time we spend in relationship with him, the more time we spend in his word, it does. It just fills you with more of the Holy Spirit. It fills you with more understanding, right? To your point of that relationship. And I remember seeing something by a some person of faith. And they said something to him about his faith. And he said, well, if you spend an hour or 2 hours every day in the presence of God for 25 years or 40 years, you would have this too, right? In other words, like it's because of the time you're committing that you have this deeper understanding, right? Than somebody that just first meets Jesus, you know, just gets in the word, that either I'm not saying they don't feel something, but the more time we spend, the more we can know his heart and know his, like you just said, that it's how much love and how much he wants to have that relationship with us.
Yeah. Faith is a seed, right? It starts small, yes, but it just continues to grow. And you can make the environment better by watering the seed, by putting it in good soil. And you do that by spending time in his presence and in his word.
Yeah. Actually, that reminds me, when you were saying that earlier about that you did the first small, you know, you were going to do the, I forget what part of Luke, but was it the resurrection?
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you were saying that and you were talking about the seed, I was going to say, you know, I saw something interesting. I can't remember the guy's name. I'll have to look it up and share it in the show notes. But he was saying that, so he helps people with their faith, kind of figure out how to get out of debt, how to, you know, to become financially, you know, have financial freedom and stuff from a Christian lens. But he was saying that so many people, there's things right in front of them that they already could be using, right? Just like examples in the Bible, to first serve the kingdom, right? That's first. But then also often it could actually reap them some benefit, right? Because maybe you already have a skill and talent, and we keep looking around like, what do we have? I don't have anything. I didn't get this degree, or I didn't do that. And it's like, that's actually not true. There's so often things that we already do, or people want to learn from us, or you bake beautiful sourdough bread, or you, right? And so what I thought was interesting, it's that whole seed. I think sometimes we don't realize all these seeds have been planted. For instance, the person that encouraged you in your small group or your Bible study or whatever it was, we forget that our words have such power over each other. So when we encourage people just by something small, by saying like, you're so good at this thing, or that really, you know, bless my family that you did this thing for us, or even if it comes easy to you. So one, we have to remember to speak life into other people, right? Like encourage them when we see something, and then, or when we see where they can, what they can become, right? Because I think sometimes we get stuck in the here and now, but God is calling us to actually, you know, encourage people for who they can become in him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, God has given everybody gifts and abilities, right? Nobody is walking around without any gifts or abilities. So whoever you are, if you're in Christ, you have gifts, abilities, and skills that probably could be used for the kingdom if you would just let them out of the closet and let them shine. And go to him in prayer and just say, what am I supposed to be doing? When you come to him with a sincere heart, he's going to show you, you know, what you should be doing. You know, his sheep know his voice. So you will hear it if you just spend that time. And, you know, for me, I've always been a shortcut kind of guy. What's the way I can get done with this the fastest? You know, does it have to be perfect? No. Can I get it done quicker? Yes. Well, God showed me that, you know, this is something you can't take shortcuts with. And it's the same thing with our faith, right? You have to spend the time developing it, spending time in his word. There's no shortcut to it, right? It's a relationship. So just spend time with him, and he'll show you your gifting and how you can make a contribution.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So what do you want to share with us about the easy to understand read Bible? Like, are there just some I don't know, some takeaways, or maybe there's your favorite scripture within it after having gone through this whole project. But what would you just want to share with us about that translation in that Bible?
Yeah, so I think if somebody has been put off by traditional Bible language, King James Version or what have you, this is a version that says, come try this. You know, I read some reviews that I get, and one of them was on Audible. I think the man read the book of John, and he was saying, you know, I grew up in the church, had the King James Version, but really didn't get much out of it. Over the years, he drifted away from his faith, got into New Age. He said he read over 50 New Age books, happened to come across this, the Gospel of John, and thought, all right, I'll give it a try. And he said something clicked for him, you know, the phrasing, the wording, the voice, whatever. The Holy Spirit is what it really was, but something clicked for him. And he said, since this, I've come back to my faith. I've come back to Jesus. Yeah. And for me, you know, oh my gosh, that God would use a simpleton like me to help somebody along in their faith.
Right.
It's just remarkable. So I would say if there's anyone who's struggled with Bible reading in the past, give this a shot, see what God can do, and approach it with an open heart. You know, I try to every time I open the word, just say, God, help me to get something out of this today. Help me to hear from you today. And when you do that, he shows up. Not every time, but as you make it a practice, it becomes, you know, more evident that you get more out of it. So I would just say, get in the word every day and spend time with God and just watch him do a transformation.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are your, maybe either your daily faith practices, or maybe one that's your favorite, you know, like if it's a review, or is it, do you like to do a certain journaling or anything that's related to your faith?
Yeah. So for me, faith is all encompassing, right? It's the foundation of my life, and you got to do things that's going to put you in the right mindset. So that includes exercise, right? I feel better when I exercise, and when I exercise, I'm more in tune with the Spirit. I can listen to podcasts when I exercise. So that's one thing that helps me out. I can listen to good Bible teaching as I exercise, and then spending time in personal praise and devotion. I have a hymnal that I bought several years ago, and every day I'll sing a couple of hymns out of it, you know. I'm a lousy singer, but I can sing it to myself, and God still enjoys it, I know. So I'll do that. And then I get into the word. And what I've really enjoyed lately is using AI to help me with my Bible understanding and Bible reading. Yeah. I'll get to something. I think, well, that's a little interesting. What does that mean? So I'll go on ChatGTP and put, and you have to be careful how you phrase things.
Yes.
But I always put, what do Bible scholars and theologians say about this verse, blah, 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 you know, whatever my question is. Yeah. And it'll come back and it'll say, well, you know, Matthew Henry says this, blah, 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 so-and-so says this. So it gives you a curated understanding of, you know, how people have traditionally interpreted verses. And I find that just really, you know, enhances my knowledge and understanding of the word. So that's what I do in the evening. I have a grown son who lives with us. He just graduated from college, but you know, around 9 o'clock every evening, me, my wife, him, we all gather around and have a time of Bible reading and prayer. It's just a habit that we started when he was young, and we continue it today, even though he's now in his early 20s. So those are a couple of things that I do just to help me stay grounded in the word. And of course, being involved with a small group, life group, Sunday morning, you know, I'm at church, and we have a Bible study life group after that. Wednesday evening, I have a men's group that I lead, a little table group. And then even Tuesday nights, I'm taking a seminary class. So just things like that, opportunities God puts in front of you to have fellowship with other Christians, to learn. I just try to take advantage of those things.
Yeah, I love that. Well, yeah. And that when you mentioned the AI, whether it's from there or you're reading, you know, you have a study Bible with other information translation in it, you know, just even reading the original language, right, where you can dig into the meaning, the word, because so many times the way it's written, to your point, we might interpret it from a contemporary lens, right, our understanding, but then digging into what that meant, how the word was used in the Bible based on that, sometimes that it's just like such a shift to your point. And you can put that in AI too, right? Besides saying the Bible scholars and whatnot, it's what was this word? You know, what did this mean, right? In the Greek or Hebrew, and then kind of digging into it. You know, to me, sometimes it's like, wow, I didn't realize that, right? If you don't really, so I like that. I think that's great. So great. So can you share with us what is just fueling your faith right now? Obviously, you're doing so many godly biblical things to stay in his word, to stay within groups, right? To just kind of build up your faith, build up your the kingdom groups you're in. But is there anything that's just fueling your life, fueling your faith right now, besides the things you already shared?
Yeah, so I'm working on a devotional, a 365-day devotional for Gen Z. And it's going to be called something along the lines of A Dad's Words to Gen Z, A Guide for Walking Through the Bible in a Year. Basically, I'll guide them through several chapters of the Bible a day, suggest what they read, and then have a devotional based on the reading. So I've been working on that, putting that together. I've got it all written in the editing process now, and then I'll have to go into recording. But it's been enjoyable. Gen Z, as you know, probably has a lot of things coming against them, you know, mental health being one of the things that they struggle with. So I just want to encourage them and help them in any way that I can. I've been around for 50 plus years now. I've learned a few things from being with God. And if I can pass on that knowledge to them, help them save some time, not make some of the mistakes I've made, learn some of the things that I've picked up over the years, I hopefully it'll just be a blessing in their lives.
That's wonderful. And you're so right. I have 3 college age sons. And so absolutely, there's a lot coming against them, to your point, you know, and, you know, we all just pray and want them to have all the resources and to have a relationship with Christ, you know, and, yes. But they're all at different, even having 3 sons, they're all at different places with that, right. You know, their faith right now. And so, you know, just continuing to try to get things in front of them is so important. So that's great additional work you're doing. So thank you for that. So Dan, can you share with us, how can people connect with you? Where can they find the version of the Bible that you've recorded and all of that good stuff?
Yeah, I've got everything on audible.com and amazon.com. So if they want to check that out, just look up Dan Parr, EUR Bible. Everything will pop up for them there. I've even found that it's showing up in places I don't even know how it got to. Barnes & Noble online has it for some reason. So I guess that's fine. But I direct people to Audible or Amazon if they want to connect with me personally. I don't do a lot of social media, honestly. I'm on LinkedIn, but they can connect with me there as well. Just put Dan Parr, Bible Guy, and I'll pop up there on their LinkedIn.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sharing how you stepped into and were faithfully doing this project that you felt, you know, God called you into, and for doing this, because to your point, the more versions of the Bible there are that are easy to understand, you know, like you've just done, it matters, right? Because to your point, I get it. I've read versions of the Bible, or sometimes I go up and look at different, some of the different versions. And I mean, I'm like, that what? Like the one out of 6 will make more sense, right, to me than the other ones, just because of a several word shift. And so, yes, thank you for the work you're doing and, you know, how you're just showing up and just, you know, encouraging people in their faith, because it is so important, as we know. So thank you again for joining us. And I will share all of that in the show notes as well.
Thanks, Kristen. It's been a pleasure.
I also want to remind you, if you haven't already signed up for my community by joining my weekly email, go ahead and go on over to kristenfitch.com and you can grab either my Joyful Devotional 15-day devotional, or you can grab my Reignite Your Passion workbook. But I will send an email most Fridays called Faith Fridays that's just going to uplift you, encourage you, inspire you with God's word and what he's calling each of us to do in our lives. So head over to kristenfitch.com or click the link in the show notes to join our community. If you enjoyed today's episode, if you could leave a rating review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, it helps the show get discovered by more people so that we can continue to uplift and encourage people in their faith journey as well as all of the other parts of their lives.